Hi everyone, it's Aliza Licht here, your host, and I'm so thrilled to share that my new book, On Brand, Shape Your Narrative, Share Your Vision, Shift Their Perception, is out now. I hope you'll pick up a copy because personal branding is for everyone. It's for the new graduate starting out, the middle manager looking to level up, the executive who wants to be a thought leader, the entrepreneur starting from scratch. It's for anyone who wants to pivot or transition into something new. Because having a strong personal brand means that your name gets dropped in rooms you're not in, and that you're thought of for opportunities that other people haven't even heard of yet. So pick up a copy, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Hi, this is Aliza Licht, and this is Leave Your Mark, the podcast, where I brew fresh career advice with some of my most inspiring and successful friends. It's professional advice that you can action immediately, whether you're just starting out in your career or well on your way. With a massive to-do list and a large cup of coffee, I promise that you can get it all done and still have time to post about it. Like all good relationships, this one started on Twitter, right? And Erica Domasek, I am so excited to see your gorgeous face. For those of you who do not know Erica, Erica is the original queen of DIY. She is a social media maven. She is an extremely cool, crafty parent. She's the founder of the innovative DIY lifestyle brand, PS I Made This, which launched in 2009. Erica, your passion for entertaining and handmaking beautiful objects and bringing joy in a more colorful and fun way has become what you're known for. And you've been able to expose your world in so many different mediums. And I'm super excited for your new project. Erica, of course, has been a distinguished expert in the areas of design and style, as well as a leader in brand marketing for 15 years. Her mission, of course, is to inspire and encourage people everywhere to embrace the concept of crafting the life they want. From the Today Show to Rachel Ray to Martha Stewart, you've been a judge on TLC's Craft Wars, and your work has been featured everywhere from Teen Vogue, Elle, Vogue, Wall Street Journal, and the list goes on. And Erica, I miss you in New York. I'm not going to lie.
Like, you too. By the way, that was the best introduction I've ever had.
What? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, listen, I think that what I love about Leave Your Mark, if I may say, is I have a connection to the people that I bring on. And you and I go so way back.
We do.
To like the early days. Like I said, we met on Twitter. And then we've just stayed in touch all of these years, no matter where you were. And you are one of those people, you never cease to amaze with your creativity and also your passion and energy for what you do. It's funny, like I know your work so well, but I actually don't know your background as well. So give us like a little bit of background on where you grew up and, by the way, what you thought you would be doing as an adult.
That's a great question because I mean, we've been friends for so many years and you probably don't. And there are things I don't know about you, but I guess what's the story? I mean, I'm from Philly. I was so not into going to college. I went to college in Florida because I was like, ugh, where's it going to be nice? Wasn't into school, started a jewelry company. Because I always liked making things. I was always a crafty kid. So I was in college and I was going to Saks Fifth Avenue, doing trunk shows all over. I was driving down to Miami to Ocean Drive magazine and giving them to the stylists for cover shoots. So I was always an entrepreneur. I was always, you know, just marketing and wanting to talk to people and into design. I don't think I would ever consider myself a designer, but I basically got this little jewelry company absorbed, and then I designed watches for a company who had the license for Givenchy watches, and I designed their watches, launched them, and then I moved to New York. So that was in 2005, and in New York, I was working on a couple of projects, and then all of a sudden, it just made sense for me to do styling, but not fashion styling. It was set design and prop work. So when I say I came from the fashion industry, like so many of my friends and you think PR or marketing or design. There's so many ways to obviously be a part of that world. But for me, I was a part of bringing these worlds alive. So an example, you know, you would go through a catalog and you would see those whimsy Kate Spade ads and the woman like holding the snowball, but they're selling the gloves with the little cute bows on them, but you never thought, who made that snowball? Because it wasn't a real snowball. Or the Anthropologie ads where girls would be very just like lovely and bendy, wearing, you know, pleated skirts and cute Peter Pan collars and holding wire sculptures of horses. You never thought to say, who made that wire sculpture? So that was my world. And I did work campaigns, Bloomingdale's, Segers and Morrison. I shot with Patrick Demelchier. You know, I worked in fashion just in a different capacity. But the joke was, I would always be wearing something and people say, what is that? I'd be like, oh, it's a Prada necklace. I'd be like, it is? And I'm like, no, I made it. You know, this is when you knew me. Like somebody said, oh, you should start a blog, a Tumblr. And it was really for fun, just showing people how making things can be easy and fun. And so in the beginning, back in the early days, 2009 and 2010, it was like fashion accessories, more for that style savvy set. To say, you know, we can be inspired by designers, but we can do it ourselves. And that's how it really started. And cut to now, things are different. And someone said, when you have a kid, your business is going to change. And I was like, yeah, right.
Well, let's just pause there for a second. Yeah. Because one of the things I want to point out for everyone listening, and going back to even the college days in Florida, you are such a hustler. Like Erica has this new book coming out and I'm like, oh, who's your publicist? She's like, me, myself, and I, like she literally, well, you do it yourself, ha, pun intended. You're such a hustler. How did you learn how to be so good at maneuvering in and out of all these different realms? Because in college, like no one's teaching you how to do that, right? And even when you got to New York, connecting with the right people and getting your work known. I mean, obviously I would think social media, Twitter started helping support that too, but what is it about the way you network or connect with people that you think has been really essential in your success?
I mean, I owe so much of my career to the community that I've created. You know, I joke that your network is your net worth, wink, wink. But the truth is, the people who I've crossed paths with have just opened doors. And I did take the road less traveled. And that's something to be said. And internet days, you know, when I was in college, we didn't have social media. And I was the person who would talk to anyone and everyone, because I was and still am an interested person. Why are you here? What are you doing here? Here's something about me. And I've always thrived on connection. Obviously, as an extrovert, for me, that comes naturally. And I know for some people, it's difficult, or they're just not interested. But for me, I do thrive off of that connection and meeting people. So I would always clock it, not in a, oh, what can I get from this person? Because I truly believe when you make connections in a organic way and you're interesting and you're doing interesting things and you're kind and you're nice, people want you to be in their world and they want to work with you. And I mean, here's a great example. When I was in college, I had a part-time job at the Ralph Lauren store at the Breakers. Fun fact, it's the only Ralph Lauren that is not owned by Ralph Lauren.
Ooh, interesting.
And a man came in there. It was in Palm Beach. And his name is Marty Hackle. And I would just be talking to people and getting their stories. Cut to, we exchange info. And for years, every time he had a photo shoot, he was the fashion director at Golf Digest. And all the Golf Digest companies and say, hey, do you want to assist on this? Do you want? And I was interested at a young age. And I know this is so much about your world too, because you mentor and you help the next generations. I would say yes to everything. It was never about how much am I going to get money wise. It was never, what are you going to, I would just say, yes, I want to get the experience. I want to learn. So at a young age, I just wanted to learn. And I was interested in what other people were doing.
Well, that is definitely a recipe for success for sure. But when you think about, you know, when things started to gain traction in New York, and like prop styling is an art, like it is 100% an art, but you expanded that into so many different areas with brand partnerships and books and things. How did you begin to think about this sort of PS I made this empire? Because it did start out as a blog, right? And then evolved into something much, much bigger.
I think that this is where my marketing brain, and I will say I am a marketer through and through, you know, and that is something I love more than anything is the marketing side of it. And I think that's where the part of my brain, not everybody has both sides of it, you know, the creative, the business side, and just the way to kind of flip it on its head like that. So I was doing work for all sorts of brands. And I remember very specifically Roxy, the brand, you know, surf, swim, you know. So Roxy, for the styling, they wanted to do a press preview and they needed props and this. And I had done a shoot for them. So I said, well, why don't I do it? But let's use your materials and craft up chandeliers. But why don't we co-brand it? Why don't we talk about the person behind it who styled it? So there were moments of how do I inject a brand? Because back then it was just, you know, whether you're a 1099 or, you know, work for hire, it was like, oh, we just need a stylist to do this. It wasn't like, let's promote the stylist. So it started that way. When I had clients and brands I was working with, is there a way to layer in that element? You know, early on, one of the biggest, most exciting projects I had that was one of those early OMG moments was when Helmut Lang had me use all of their fabrics to cut up and make accessories and do every window on Bloomingdale's. And the idea that fashion brands, and you know this more than anyone because you were a pioneer in the space, fashion brands weren't as excited to hop on the bandwagon to collaborate with the digital, the physical space a little bit. So it took some massaging. I remember my friends, Hillary Kerr and Catherine Power, when they started Who What Where, I said, hey guys, and I called them up. They didn't know who I was, but I was a reader early days. And I said, hey, I see you're doing all this fashion celebrity stuff. Why not having a column for like DIY? And they were like, kind of like, I don't know that this is a reader, but thanks. A month later, they reached out, hey, we'd love for you to create the Proenza Schooler look with the tie dye. And I had a column for years. And for me in the beginning, I felt like I had to be an advocate for the space of DIY, which is now, I would explain to people, this is the horizontal that cut through every vertical from fashion to food, to pets, to art, like you name it, customizing your life. And so getting back to your original question, like, how did you switch it? It was education. I had to actually educate people that one, this was cool and this is the future. It's not just about where can I buy this expensive bag? But inspiration can be a story. Creativity can be a story. And how do we speak to, you know, as you know, you want to meet the consumer where they are, whether they're inspired by something, whether they're looking for solutions. Is it about something being cost effective? Is it something about, you know, saving them time? And I just think what I was doing and still am doing with this world of creativity and DIY, it can check a lot of those boxes. And I just had to educate people then.
It also checks the sustainability box in so many ways.
Huge. I mean, I have actually done programs, massive programs, just on sustainability. One of my earliest campaigns that I don't think anybody really knows, a couple people, if I bring that up, like, oh my gosh, when Coca-Cola launched the Dasani plant bottle, which is their water bottle with the green cap, they tapped me to launch that because it was made up of plant-based materials and it was all about recycling and bringing new life into materials. So I was a part of, they were a sponsor to this Art of Elysium gala. And before you could walk into the gala, they had DIY table set up. I was crafting with Donatella Versace, Anna Wintour. I mean, I was in my, I don't know, how old was I? I was young.
You need to paint a picture for us. What is it like to craft with Anna and Donatella?
Oh, I will never forget the Donatella. Her nails, she couldn't do anything because we were doing like safety pins. It was so weird. Like the project we were doing was like these green caps, but regardless, it was Donatella. And she was like, darling, open this for me. Like, because she had these long nails. And I was just like,
oh my God, that's so funny. And Anna crafting with sunglasses on, probably.
Oh, of course she had sunglasses, but I don't know that. I mean, did she touch anything? Was it just the photo op? But there were some cool people that came through that night. That was so many years ago. But I have met some amazing people, and people have become my friends in ways because creativity and art is truly something that bonds people.
It is. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you never had an agent back in those days, did you?
No, it was people that I knew. And I think people trusted me. People knew I was doing something cool. And I mean, at the time, that was my friend who was a publicist and saying, oh, I think you'd be great for this. Or so I truly am grateful for, again, connection and my network. And I think this is important to say, because I never went to go work at a brand and was only in that one box as a freelancer early on and just being out and about in New York City. I mean, you know, you just meet so many people. And I think that early on, that was just so important, those connections and networking.
For sure. You can go out, be out and about, you can network, but a lot of people are afraid to pitch themselves. And you even calling Hillary and Catherine cold and just throwing out an idea and not being afraid for the no is something that a lot of people need help working on. What's the secret to not caring if someone says no?
I think it's believing in yourself and knowing what you're doing is what you should be doing, who you are. It is authentic. You are passionate about it. It is genuine. I think that to me, say what you want. I'm not the world's most creative. I don't have maybe the best vocabulary. I'm not, no one's perfect, but I am genuine. This is who I am through and through. I think the difference is I don't do this out of ego to say, look how talented I am. I truly do this because I try to help people. And that is at the core of why I reach out, because I know that Connection X will let their audience, customers, guests, I know that this is there to help them. And I wouldn't pitch something if it didn't make sense. And I think that's important to know where you can be of value and know how you can help people. And I think that's truly why.
That's a great answer. So you have all this momentum and you're just climbing. You publish books, etc. And then you have a baby. What happened to your world?
I've never really talked about how dark my world was and how I struggled, seriously struggled. And very few people saw that side of myself and my life. Very few. Obviously, we share a very dear friend, Stacey London. Stacey was one of the people who just said, I don't recognize you. Who are you? It was hard. I not only had a baby, but I actually moved from New York. I had the burnout stage. And I always loved LA, but I didn't know, do I like coming here because it's a break from New York, or am I happy because I'm happy? So when I did come out here, it was great for all those reasons and fun. And I had Wiley, which was in 2018, but I definitely was like, what's my purpose? What am I doing? What is all this? I was suffering from, which I didn't know, pre and postpartum depression and anxiety.
Wow.
So I did not know that. A lot of people don't know that. And I was faking, not who I was, but I think that part of my brand, because as you know, that's all you talk about. It's like your brand, your personal brand, your brand. It is about happiness. You know, it is about things that will bring you joy, but it was dark. It was hard for me. And I was like, well, what does my business look like? How do I even make money? Nothing sounded fun, interesting, or good. Nothing. And it took me a really long time because obviously I'm not in that place anymore. So I'm able to talk about this in a way that doesn't sting the way it used to, right? Because it's still, even when I was out of it, it still stung. But it was a combination of finding purpose, passion, and also just feeling okay. I know that sounds pretty basic because
no, I get it.
It was really hard and it is okay not to be okay, you know? So it took a while. It took a really long time to understand my footing. And I think a lot of that is because truthfully too, I joked for so long, people just think I'm like home, like doing arts and crafts all day. And like, I knew how smart and intelligent I was and everything I was doing. And I was always like, I'm so much more than this. And I hate feeling like I'm pigeonholed, even to the point of like, oh, you're a mom. That must be great. I'm like, no, it sucks. I mean, but in all honesty, you know, in tapping to the mental health side of it for a minute, I was at a dinner, an event, because I was like trying to push myself to go out. I met someone who is another amazing marketer and industry veteran. And I opened up to her. She gave me a name of a psychiatrist who actually specializes in a lot of postpartum thing. And he said something to me that I try to share. And I know there are a lot of listeners you have and your audience is big. So I try to pass this on because it's the best thing someone ever told me when I went to that chapter of my life. And he said, it sounds like you had a really big life, because I told him what I did professionally. Right. And I was like flying here and events and shows. And I said, I did. It was like a really big life. And I said, I did. He goes, I just want to let you know, it's okay to mourn the life you lost. And that to me was so important to move forward personally and professionally in so many ways. And it might sound silly to some people, but for me, I needed to close that chapter of the old me. And you have two kids and you've been in it for a long time. So this is like, just like your life. But when you go from 0 to 1 and you feel trapped, you feel stuck, you feel uninspired, giving yourself permission to kind of say goodbye to that and say, okay, I'm allowed to be a new person. Let's take time to figure out what that looks like. That's okay.
That was so beautifully said. Thank you for sharing that. That is so important. It is so important. And one of the things that resonates most for me is the giving yourself permission, because there's so much smoke and mirrors. There's so much of who we think we have to be publicly, right? So when you had this kind of self-reflection epiphany, you basically gave yourself the chance to have a rebirth of yourself, essentially. So you like had a child, but then you're also like reborn again too.
Yeah.
Which brings us to your current business now and the way that you work with brands. Do you want to detail a little bit about what you're doing?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, when we caught up and I was chatting with you about it, you're like, wait, what? That's going on?
I didn't know.
It's kind of one of those, you know, if you know, you know.
Well, now everyone's going to know who listens to Leave Your Mark.
Yeah, everybody, the world. Like I told you, I'm a marketer. I'm a brand person. And for years, I've been working with brands. Just so people understand, brands would come to us. We did a lot of branded entertainment. We would do how-to content. We would do things that had myself in it for talent, or it would just be a media buys. And I really treated like, you know, this was like a mini media company doing events. And when brands would come to me, they would say, okay, we want to do this. Like, let's do X, Y, Z. And I'd say, why? And it's such a great question to ask when people come to me, let's do this. And it's okay to say why. And I started saying why instead of just saying yes. And I said, why don't I do this for you? And when I said this, it was, I knew that I could get a brand's message and product into influential people's hands for them to talk about on social media. And they'll get more, dare I say, leverage and ROI by going in a different route versus just keeping it on a digital, you know, platform, story, video. So basically, just to break it down, we would start making these cool kits. We would make kits for them. What does that mean? It would be like, you know, the example that I always love to give, because it was just such a fun moment, that when brother came to me and said, okay, we want to do a P-Touch thing for Valentine's Day. And I said, just wait, why don't we get into people's hands? And just for fun, I would say to friends, like, oh, do you know what a P-Touch is? And they'd be like, no. I'm like, yes, you do. It's this, it's a label maker. They go, oh, of course I know that. And it's the idea that I knew that people would get excited to get this item, but we have to merch it around to how to use it. So cut to now, at the end of the day, it was a story we told about Valentine's Day cookies. They were all branded, but it's storytelling. It is storytelling. I don't sell embroidered sweaters, but what about the story of what this plus the needle plus the thread? But, you know, so what we do now is I basically split my business into two sides, the studio and the agency. And the studio is all things that, you know, and I would say that are consumer facing and the public knows all the content, the events, anything in the how-to space, anything that talks about PSI made this and all of that fun stuff. And then the agency, we're the storytellers that work with brands. So you don't see PSI made this on it. You know, we are getting hired to tell stories for tentpole moments. What that means is that we could have a client like the NBA, yes, the National Basketball Association, who is looking to tap into, who do their fans listen to? They listen to influencers and celebrities. So what stories can we tell to gift and give these celebrities so they can tell? So at the end of the day, in the most basic level, could you say, so you do seating kits? Sure, we do. But they're very high level and they tell stories. So for instance, when The Summer I Turned Pretty launched, which was the best show, I don't know if you saw it.
Love that movie.
I got to screen it early and I fell in love with it. I mean, Jenny Han's amazing. And I was just like, okay, I know how we're going to bring this alive. How are we going to tell this story? Again, what I do and what I've always done is a call to action. What is social media? A call to action. So it's the physical element that we design and create with the story that lands at someone's doorstep so they can capture content to make it then that digital story that becomes their story. So we work with very large brands to do that. I mean, yes, I'm in the midst of this book launch, but I'm also working on a very large film coming out in January.
Very cool. Let's talk about your book.
Oh, you mean this right here?
Yes. P.S. We made this super fun crafts that grow smarter and happier kids. So literally every single parent is trying to figure out how to get their kids off screens and you now have the solution.
I wouldn't say it's going to be the only way to get them off their screens. Like maybe, I don't know, they might want like some amazing like remote control car or maybe ice cream sundae. But no, I was never planning on writing a kid's book. I was actually never planning on ever writing another book again. I know you know this. It's not easy. Not easy. No. But when I became a parent, I started, you know, just like going to baby classes and that type of thing. And I was also like looking at books. I'm like, why aren't we doing stuff with our kids that actually is more artistic? It's not just like stupid, like smearing paint for little kids. And the older they get, why is there no like cool modern voice? This is not a knock to anybody who's posting incredible videos and content on social, but sometimes we just literally need to open up a book and actually put the screens down and do something. Just like it is when we grew up or when your kids were little and you didn't have all the screens. Because at the end of the day, you know, for someone like me who grew up doing arts and crafts every day and always in the kitchen, I learned more through that than, I don't want to say being in school, but like so that to me was everything. Or I would thrive. I should say I would thrive when I had to do a presentation that was visual and any type of storytelling. And the thing about the book is it's not just about arts and crafts. I worked with a PhD. Her name's Dr. Laurel Felt. And everything is about developmental takeaways. Every single project in this book has been tagged. And in a very simple way, we teach people how to crack the code from cognitive skills, social skills, emotional skills, physical skills, the things that kids can learn from doing these projects. And it gives you a way to talk about them. I mean, even to the point where it's like a piggy bank out of an oatmeal canister, right? I mean, we always have oatmeal in our house, like instant oatmeal, and we pour it in hot water. Before you recycle that, maybe you keep it. Maybe you can make like this cool shark bank out of it. And when you're making it with your kids, what does that teach them? One, sustainability. Two, financial literacy, right? You're talking about money. Three, you're also using your fine motor skills for cutting, for gluing, you know, color systems. I just think that there are so many ways that you can learn through doing these projects. And that's really the point, you know?
So for the parent who is very uncreative and who is like, how the hell? Because some of the stuff is super, not your stuff, but in general, the idea of like making something freaks people out. So what 100%. Do you say to those people who are like, I can't do that?
Yes, you can. Okay. So my question for you is, do you get packages sent to your house, Aliza?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Well, can I ask you, do you have a couple markers at your house?
Yes.
Okay. would you maybe have some stickers or possibly colored tape?
No.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, you have markers, then that's all you need. That's what I'd say. But you can make a karaoke machine.
Oh, that's so cute.
Do you have paper towels?
Yes, of course.
Do you have foil?
Yes.
Great. You can make a microphone too. And that's it. It's that simple that it doesn't have to look like this. It's the inspiration. You know, can Sabrina do like a fake show with her girlfriends? Like, yeah, she can. You know, she's obviously a little older, but remember when we were kids and we would come home from art class and we'd bring our parents those clay ashtrays we made and we were so happy. Why did our teachers and our schools make us make ashtrays? Can we just also think about that? Like, how messed up is that? That they told us to make ashtrays, but like we would get home and we would be like, look at this ashtray I made you.
That is such a good point. Oh my God.
What? But we would be so excited and we signed our name on the bottom. It's that same feeling of accomplishment. It's that same feeling that you put your personal stamp on something that at any age is amazing, but from a young age, empowering them from a young age is one of the best things you can do as a parent.
I mean, I have no doubt, but I think the other thing is for everyone who's listening, like Erica used to host, like I remember for Easter, you would host like a tie-dye party and like we were all adults doing this. So it's such a great way to just get together with friends. Just having like a crafting party is such a great, fun idea for people.
And it doesn't matter. Yes, P.S. we made this is, you know, kids and parents. But to your point, I mean, we went to my small studio apartment and with like that tiny little apartment and we would do projects. I mean, that's always been my life. You've heard of the wine and paint parties. I mean, the idea to like get people together to be creative. It's fun. I've always said, why DIY when you can DIT, you know, do it together. It is more fun. It is more fun. 100%.
I love it. So you're on this new, exciting journey right now. You obviously have this book, you have your business. Ultimately, how do you see yourself / P.S. I made this leaving your mark? Like, what's the headline at the end of the day?
You know, I think it's always been to help people. That's always been to inspire and help people, right? Where do I think that's going to go? I think being a mom, being around in the family space, I realized, especially as a marketer, that I can help more people that way because parents really need help, not in a way that they're struggling, but it's, I mean, you know, through the pandemic, I had people like, you know, my friends like Sarah Michelle Gellar coming around to get art supplies on my front door. Like, it doesn't matter where you are. Mm-hmm. If you're a famous person, if you're a stay-at-home mom, we all need support. So for me, I truly, truly feel like I'm being called to support families in the best way. What that looks like, I don't know. I don't know. But I think that I'm always there to help people. I mean, I joke that every year it's the Halloween hotline and I have strangers that pop in my DMs and I pick a couple people and I help them throughout the holiday season making their costumes. I mean, I'm here to help people. And that truly is what I love. As long as I can leave my mark where I know that people feel supported and helped, that's big for me.
I love it. And also, you make people happy by doing all of this. When people participate in it, there's just an energy boost that you get from doing it. And I happen to be a crafty person. I don't do a lot of DIY, but when I do it, well, I'm really good at it, number one. But number two is I enjoy it. It's a really nice change of pace from like the normal routine of just
absolutely
on the phone, on the email, Zoom, et cetera, et cetera. It's like taking a break from that. So I love it. And I feel like this book is going to help so many people just tap into that side of themselves. Erica, I'm so excited for you. It's so great to see you.
So great to see you. I miss you. And I just have to say, I know your job is to interview me and talk about me and you've said the nicest things, but I have witnessed you leave your mark on so many people. And I love seeing my friends soar. And you know, seeing you do what you do, just giving your pearls of wisdom, even while you're like putting on mascara. Like, I don't know how you do that. I'm like, how does she not blink? Anyway, you're my hero too.
Oh, Erica, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Listen, I think at the end of the day, we're each doing things that hopefully is in service of someone else. And I think that that makes us feel good too. So yeah. And I have a very steady hand. So yeah, that's how I do the mascara.
Something just popped into my head that you said to me years ago, and I'm just remembering now.
Oh God, what?
I never forgot I asked you something because I saw you somewhere, and it would help to know if I had a kid or I didn't, but I don't remember. But I remember asking you, because in New York, what you would do is you would have a crazy work day. And then you would go and you would like give your kids dinner, put them to bed, but then you would go out to an event and then have a dinner. I remember looking at you and I said, how do you do it? And you just look back at me, you go, a lot of help.
It's true.
But I never forgot that. And my point of saying that is, with all of this, what I'm learning, that you need to ask for help too.
Absolutely. I love that you remember that. And I think, yes, it's the same thing as what you said. It's like giving yourself permission to say, okay, that was my previous life. This is my new life. It's like giving yourself permission to say, I can't do it all alone. And I'm going to prioritize my day in this fashion and then hopefully be able to pull people in to assist along the way. So yes, I can't believe you're.
I remember that. And the irony for everything is that my company is all about DIY, as in do it yourself. So the irony for me right now of everything is that I can't. And so right. I think that's a great place to end it.
That is a great, great point. All right, Erica, this was amazing.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
Thanks so much for listening to Leave Your Mark, the podcast. If you want more career advice, be sure to pick up a copy of my best-selling book, Leave Your Mark. If you're on Instagram, make sure to follow at Leave Your Mark Podcast to stay up with the latest episodes. And of course, say hi to me at Aliza Licht XO. If you're on Twitter, definitely reach out at Aliza Licht. I would love to hear from you. If you want to subscribe to my newsletter or attend a future virtual mentoring event, go to alizalicht.com for more information. And just remember this, if change doesn't hurt a little, it's not change. Keep on rocking.